Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, a special Memorial Day holiday edition of Intelligent Medicine. And while many shows are canned this weekend, a lot of hosts on vacation, I'm here. We're live, and I'll be answering your questions. 888-302-3684 is our number, and you can start calling with questions related to Intelligent Medicine. That's our mission statement here on this program, and we'll endeavor to answer your questions about diet and lifestyle and high-tech medicine. We put all those elements together for you each weekend here on Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684. And among the stories we're going to be talking about a little later in the program, we're going to provide you with a comprehensive review of the movie Fed Up. It's a movie about diet, and it's a movie about health, but it's something quite different in that genre. And I'm going to provide you with a little bit of an update on what that movie's message is. And so summer is finally here, or so they tell us, although in parts of the country it's a little cloudy, a little gloomy, temperatures a little cold. It's not exactly perfect beach weather here in the Northeast where I'm broadcasting from, but it's enough. It'll do after this cold, harsh winter that some of us are still thawing out from. And there are some hazards associated with summer. We've heard the warnings about hamburger recalls as we're about to crank up the grills. And, if you plan to travel somewhere, there are those near misses on plane flights, right? That's pretty reassuring. And then everybody's telling you to slather up with SPF 50. Otherwise, you'll be running the risk of deadly skin cancer. Lyme disease is a problem because you're seeing all those cute little deer who are nibbling on your foliage in your garden. Well, those deer may be harbingers of serious disease. Summer vacation may indeed be hazardous to your health. And here's one of the reasons why. I've got some data. Actually, this is some data from a marketing organization. This is not a health advocacy organization. They're actually selling information to marketers, telling them what to stock in stores. And they're targeting especially young people who they say are very active, mobile people who hit the road on road trips. Typically, their cars have three or more occupants, starting with Memorial Day. People head out on summer road trips. And according to this marketing group, these summer road trippers plan to scrap their healthy eating habits. 61% of them in favor of their favorite fast foods and convenience store snacks while on the road. Their intake of these types of foods is 31% higher than the general population. And as was pointed out in the movie Fed Up that I'll be talking about later, it used to be, you know, when you stopped at a gas station, you stopped for gas. That was it. And maybe, just maybe, they would have maybe a place where you could buy some chewing gum or maybe, some potato chips or something like that. But now, when you stop for gas, the gas stations are associated with these massive fast food eateries. You could get virtually anything, tons of candy, every conceivable big gulp soft drink. And so the fueling stop, yeah, it's partially for your car, but it's partially for you. So that you could fuel up on the road. These are the so-called convenience stores. And here's what those polled indicate they favor. 44% of them prefer McDonald's, 29% of them Wendy's, 29% of them Burger King, 24% go for Taco Bell. A favorite snack, Lay's potato chips. Jack's Lynx beef jerky, 33%. Hershey's chocolate, 25%, Coca-Cola, 30%. Yeah, there's a lot of brand recognition there. People go for that kind of stuff. And no wonder that Americans' waistlines are expanding. Coca-Cola, 30%. Mountain Dew, a popular category among the people who prefer soda when they make their pit stops. There was also a three-way tie in the bottled ready-to-drink beverages category between Gatorade, Snapple, and Starbucks, all either sugar-laden or chemical-laden beverages. If you go for the no-sugar aspartame-sweetened varieties, still the evidence is that you won't lose weight. And so what's this all about? Well, you know, a lot of people say that we should make food less expensive for Americans so that more Americans can afford healthy food. I mean, that's something that we've been hearing for a long time. But according to a new study, one of the biggest factors in the rise of obesity in America is cheap food. Food is cheaper than ever relative to our overall incomes. They did a study. It's a collaboration between the Rand Corporation and the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. And they note that paradoxically, rising obesity rates coincide with cheaper food, increases in leisure time, increased fruit and vegetable availability. We have more and more opportunities to have fresh fruits and vegetables, yet people are getting fatter and fatter. And more people have time and take the time to exercise, but our waistlines are expanding. So they look back historically. It's interesting. In the 1930s, Americans spent one quarter of their disposable income on food. Can you imagine that? You get a paycheck, say, in those days, maybe $5,000 a year, and you'd be spending $1,250 on food for, you know, you and your family. By the 1950s, that figure had dropped to one-fifth. So we're making progress. People had more disposable income that they didn't have to worry about bare survival and spend it on food. But the most recent data shows that the share of disposable income spent on food is now under one-tenth. So food is cheap, and we can buy lots and lots of it, as much as we want. We can also not worry too much about saving money by eating at home. We can go out on the road and get fast food galore. It's cheap, it's available, it's plentiful. We can afford it. And as a result, obesity rates are soaring. This is one of the contentions in the movie Fed Up that I'll be talking about later. We invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684. And when we return, we'll answer some of your questions. We got lots more to talk about. We'll be talking about germs. And this week, a big theme on our Intelligent Medicine podcasts, the human microbiome, the bacteria that inhabit our intestinal tracts and our skin surfaces, our mouths, our nasal passages. We're devastating our internal ecology. And this is creating a lot of problems for us, undermining our health. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is a special Memorial Day holiday edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife away.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we believe that omega oils are essential to an extraordinary life. By correcting the global omega-3 deficiency, each generation can have the opportunity to grow healthy and strong, so you can do more of what you love with those you love. What's essential to us is proven purity and leading freshness. All of our oils surpass strict international standards for purity and freshness. Our oxygen-free processing combined with natural flavoring ensures no fishy smell, taste, or aftertaste. 100% of our fish is wild-caught, sourced in line with the Norwegian Fisheries Management System, and processed with minimal environmental impact. At Nordic Naturals, what's essential to us is simple. It's what's essential to you. Like us on Facebook and share your what's essential story, or simply visit NordicNaturals.com for free samples. Nordic Naturals is available at finer health food stores nationwide. Nordic Naturals, committed to delivering the world's safest, most effective omega oils.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, on a Memorial Day weekend. And I guess it's tough finding a doctor on Memorial Day weekend, so we're getting a lot of calls. People got questions. Let's start with Georgette. Welcome. She's calling from Riverdale, New York.
I'm calling about, and I told him trigeminal, and he said, okay. He'll be on in 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, that's going to be me. Actually, I'm the one who's going to be on in 5 minutes, so... Yeah, I'm here. This is me. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. What's your question?
Wait.
Georgette?
Wait,
I think Georgette's a little too excited because maybe we can have our have our audio engineer explain that I actually am on the air. Let's talk to Mary in the meantime. Georgette, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so this is Dr. Hoffman. How you doing?
Okay. I hope.
Well, what's your question?
My question is, I have a daughter who is suffering from TN. She had a MRI 5 months ago, showed nothing.
Okay, well, you know, Georgette, a lot of our listeners don't like, or don't understand medical abbreviations. I kind of don't like medical abbreviations. TN, I guess, stands for trigeminal neuralgia. How am I doing so far?
Correct.
Thanks. Good. and so that's a really, really painful condition of what's called the trigeminal nerve. And it's just causes excruciating facial pain. It's actually thought that this is almost like a seizure-like disorder of the nerve.
Yes.
And it's actually treated with anti-seizure medication.
All right. So she was given Neurontin.
Neurontin, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she lost a lot of hair.
Yeah.
So she stopped taking it.
Right.
But it did help the pain, but the
side effects were unacceptable. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
She did not have a spinal tap, so they really don't know what the root of it is.
So let me explain to our listening audience. Trigeminal neuralgia can arise spontaneously and without any specific cause, but it's thought that it may be triggered by the presence of a virus. The virus gets into the nerve, just like in shingles. You know, you get terrible pain. That's a form of neuralgia. And so it may be the herpes virus or a related virus that gets in the nerve causes the problem. One thing that needs to be checked in anyone, especially in the Northeast, who gets trigeminal neuralgia, you have to check very carefully to make sure they're not suffering from Lyme disease, because that actually can be a manifestation of Lyme disease. So once that's checked, we can treat it appropriately. At first, it's treated with antiviral medication sometimes, but often with steroids. Then, you know, the pain is treated just symptomatically. I like to treat patients with nutritional support. Not that, you know, there's one single magic vitamin that shuts down pain. You know, people are looking for that. Like, what new supplement is going to, like, be more powerful than the most powerful opiate? Well, there is no such supplement. But we know, for example, that vitamin D helps to bring down pain levels in general. I mean, it's not like a sedative. It's not like OxyContin, but it's going to reduce pain to some extent. I also like to give B12 shots to patients who have post-herpetic neuralgia. And if they come in the office, we can give them a shot, but we can also instruct them on how to self-administer injections of methylcobalamin, which is a powerful form of vitamin B12 that helps pain. So we can try that. We can also
Does she need a spinal tap?
Okay. Okay, does she need a spinal tap? The answer is, yeah, maybe, because that might reveal the cause of the problem. She may actually have underlying Lyme disease or another infectious disorder that's causing the pain. So the answer is, she's not achieving relief. The medications are causing unacceptable side effects. I think we need to really proceed to a better diagnosis, find out what the cause of the problem is. Maybe that will help to resolve her condition.
Well, let's talk to...
Thanks, Georgette. That's all we can do on this question. Mary, let's talk to Mary from Syosset. How you doing?
Hi, doctor.
Yep.
I've been suffering with this twitching or buzzing in the right ear for the past almost 3 weeks now.
Uh-huh.
And it keeps me awake at night. I really, find it hard to sleep. It's going on. It came on very suddenly. It's gone on for, I'd say, almost 3 weeks.
Have you been to an ear, nose, and throat doctor? Have you been to a hearing specialist?
I have an appointment with an ear, nose, and throat doctor on Wednesday.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, calling me before you see the ENT, it's a little premature because there are many potential causes of ringing in the ears.
Uh-huh. It's not a ringing, it's a hissing sound, like.
Right. So you have to rule out some kind of vascular abnormality. There's even, you have to make sure there's not a tumor. Often these tumors are benign, but they can cause problems in the inner ear. Often when you have this type of problem, hissing or buzzing in the ear, it's idiopathic. They can't find a specific trigger. I believe that when there's no specific trigger that's found, like some sort of vascular abnormality or a tumor, that the cause can sometimes be related to a food intolerance or an allergy. Ups and downs in blood sugar can sometimes make tinnitus worse. We like to give ginkgo biloba to patients who have tinnitus, or pycnogenol. These are powerful bioflavonoids that help to promote circulation in the microvasculature, that it can actually help conditions like this. So some patients, it's also a matter of diet. They need to be on a lower sodium diet sometimes to address this. So we're putting the cart before the horse a little bit. You need to get an appropriate workup. That might even include an MRI of the brain on the side where you're experiencing the problem, just to make sure there's no, this hissing can sometimes be, or this pulsating sound can sometimes be a sign of an AVM, an arteriovenous malformation, where there's like a whooshing of blood going basically in the near the inner ear, inside the head. And that we just need to rule that out. Probably that would be a prudent thing to do before we decide to just send you to the health food store and treat it with supplements. Let's talk to Robin. Hey, Robin, how you doing?
Hi,
Hello,
Dr.
Robin.
Hoffman. I'm a little nervous, but hopefully I can pull this off.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
I was diagnosed with pernicious anemia about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And I have a history of Hashimoto's disease. I've had it for about 30 years.
And those go together because both of those are autoimmune conditions. So pernicious anemia, for a listening audience, B12 deficiency. And you're getting B12 shots now?
I am.
Okay.
Yes, I take methyl B12.
Oh, great.
Over the years, my ferritin levels tend to nosedive. And I would say about 6 or 7 months ago, my ferritin went down to about 10 or 12.
And, so you have to make sure you're not bleeding. Are you past the age of menopause?
Yes.
Okay, so then when your ferritin is low iron, there'd be a concern about make sure that you're not having a source of bleeding, or maybe you're not absorbing the iron that's in your diet, or vegetarians can have low iron.
Right. I also have atrophic gastritis, so.
Okay. That means poor digestion. That's often associated. You're malabsorbing B12, you may be malabsorbing iron.
Among other things, yes. I've been listening to your programs about resveratrol, and
right.
I'm interested in starting the supplement. However, I understand that resveratrol can lower iron levels, and right now I'm trying to get
I wouldn't, Robin, I wouldn't worry about that. I think you absolutely can take resveratrol. I think the question is not so much should you take resveratrol, it's like why is your iron low? And if resveratrol isn't going to make that much of a difference, the question is, are you malabsorbing? Do you need something to help promote absorption? What's in the way of your getting adequate iron uptake? Or are you losing blood? That could be the cause of low iron. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. And we got more to share with you on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684. We have several callers awaiting us, but before we get to callers, here's a conundrum. Why does exercise sometimes not lead to significant weight loss? I mean, we see it again and again. People who just pound out the exercise. They're exercising like crazy. And in fact, in the movie Fed Up, there was a very poignant example of a young gal who is trying to lose weight. She's really very overweight, and she was 12, 13, 14, and, you know, at the age where you're starting to be concerned about, you know, what you're going to look like. And she is, you know, poor gal. She's swimming, and she's rowing, and she's on the Stairmaster, and she cannot lose weight. Well, part of the problem is she's eating a lot of high-carb foods. She just doesn't know how to eat correctly. And even the so-called healthy foods, the, you know, the grainy cereals with skim milk, they're just not doing the trick. And that's one of the points of the movie Fed Up, is that our current high-carb diet, albeit low in fat, is not helping people lose weight. But another problem, this new study sheds light on why people can't lose weight sometimes with intense exercise. The reason is, and I've seen this in my practice, because I routinely test people for cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone, and exercise is a form of stress. And if you really push the exercise, I see this sometimes in people who are training for marathons, triathlons, people who do very long-distance cycling. They have stress levels through the roof, and some of them are fine in terms of their physique. Some of them just can't lose that jelly roll around the midsection. What's up with that? Well, perhaps it's they're guzzling too much Gatorade. But cortisol tends to reinforce the tendency for fat cells to be stingy about giving up their energy. And cortisol tends to push insulin levels up. And it's a vicious cycle. High cortisol engenders high insulin. The insulin levels keep the fat on as well. So in this study, it was entitled "Exercise Can Alter Cortisol Responses in Obese Subjects." The research looked at 17 inactive people. They took part in a 22-week program for lifestyle change, which involved exercise, diet, and seminars. And what they found was that those who started exercise had more cortisol than the group that didn't exercise, and they lost some weight, but they didn't lose as much weight as one might expect with the high level of exercise and the good diets that they were undertaking. Now, the authors point out that nonetheless, even if they didn't lose all the weight that they wanted, that this is not... should not be a rationale to not exercise. It simply points out the importance of cortisol as something that mediates the weight loss process. And we could say equally that life stress, day-to-day stressors, can also keep the weight on. It's often said that one of the factors that prevents people from losing weight is stress. And whether it be stress due to exercise or whether it be due to stress due to life's exigencies and challenges, this can sometimes keep the fat on even when you're following a healthy regimen, burning up calories with exercise and reducing caloric intake via your diet. So really interesting study. It's something that, you know, I sometimes think, well, this cortisol thing, it's not that important. But no, it does make a difference when it comes to ability to shed pounds. So ways we have of lowering cortisol, of course, stress reduction. We use a product called Cortisol Manager, which contains Mahonia extract and phosphatidylserine. Phosphatidylserine is also something that seems to help to lower cortisol levels. But lowering cortisol is not that easy. And you can use the product Cortisol Manager. I saw cortisol coming down very nicely in one of our patients with high cortisol. He's a high-powered executive who's now trying to follow a healthier lifestyle. And his cortisol was off the charts the first time we saw him. This time we repeated the test, and it was a little high, but it was much more, it was on the chart. it was a little high, but didn't actually leave the page, and is approaching normalcy using the product Cortisol Manager. So check it out. It's at drhoffman.com, one of the products that we offer to patients at the Hoffman Center, and we make it available to the general public. Let's talk to Diane. How you doing, Diane? We couldn't get to you last week. Thanks for being persistent.
Oh, well, it's very important to me to get information from you because I value your expertise and your knowledge.
Okay, thanks.
I'm having mitral valve repair surgery in August.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be in the best optimum condition as I could be. So what supplements would you suggest for me to take?
Okay. Well,
yeah.
So let me ask you something. You sound really young. That's a compliment to you.
Uh-huh.
And so how old are you, if you don't mind sharing?
I'm in my early 60.
Okay. Well, more and more I'm beginning to think that's really young as I approach that age myself. Did you have a history of mitral valve prolapse? Okay, so for our listening audience, a lot of people out there have mitral valve prolapse, and I've actually written a book on that subject.
Yes.
Oh, great. And so thank you for reading it. But many people read it, and they just find it immensely reassuring that a lot of other people out there experience the problems that they have, most of which do not are not problems that will eventually entail surgery. Surgery is kind of a worrisome outcome of mitral valve prolapse. A small percentage of patients who have mitral valve prolapse have such misshapen valves that eventually the valves wear out and they require surgery to repair the valves. So with you, you probably had a lot of bewildering symptoms, maybe palpitations, chest pressure sensations, ups and downs
Actually,
of mood and
I
energy.
Don't.
You don't have so many of those.
Asymptomatic.
You're asymptomatic.
The only
okay.
thing is recently I'm very athletic, so mm-hmm. That may attribute to, why I'm not feeling.
So you're getting sort of like a power failure now, and that's because the valve's not working. Okay, so things to take. Generally, it's suggested that before you get a major surgery, that you not take a lot of fish oil. Because of the possibility of bleeding.
How far from the procedure?
I gotta say that it's not that important with this procedure. Believe it or not, this is not such a bloody procedure. This is not going to be a crack your chest procedure. It's going to be done endoscopically,
Robotically, right? Robotic.
Okay. So that makes it less of a bloody involvement. Even though it's a heart surgery these days, it's done very benignly. Perhaps like. 2 weeks before, stop taking fish oil. You should continue to take coenzyme Q10 because any surgery that involves the heart, it puts stress on the heart. You want to take your coenzyme Q10. Ubiquinol would be maybe 200 a day, 100 twice daily. It is actually not that crucial to take tons and tons of supplements before this, but the ones that help most with repair are zinc and vitamin C. And you may want to stop taking something like garlic because of the increased risk of bleeding with that, or very high-dose vitamin E. There's a section on our website at drhoffman.com called Supplements for Surgery, and there's like a little Google search there where you can do an internal search on the website. A lot of people are finding that article, Supplements for Surgery, lists the things that you should take and the things that you shouldn't take before surgery, and a lot of people find that a useful resource. And, of course, there's a section in my book, How to Talk to Your Doctor About Complementary Alternative Medicine, that talks about supplements for surgery as well, things that you discuss with your surgeon or your anesthesiologist, the right things to take and the wrong things to take. And, oh, by the way, since antibiotics are often given at the time of surgery, take some probiotics because that'll keep you from getting your microbiome depleted. More on the subject of the microbiome when we return to Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers. Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria, combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. There is a minor league affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies who, you know, small ballparks are fun because in the big ballparks, they're very expensive, hard to get good tickets. It's a big hassle. And the teams are, you know, they're great. They never make a mistake. Or if they do, that's like the exception. It's like, oh, an error. But sometimes you go to small ballpark and the games are fun. They're family friendly. You can bring the whole family for, you know, $30 instead of for $300. And so there's a minor league affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies. It's called the Iron Pigs. And they got a gimmick. They've unveiled a new bacon theme. Everything goes better with bacon, even, you know, sort of middling baseball. And they have a brand new home uniform that features a strip of bacon on their caps and a smell the change slogan. The team jersey features the word pigs underlined with a bacon strip, while the team's pants have long, delicious-looking bacon stripes running down the side, and the team store sells a bacon strip t-shirt with a scratch and sniff logo. So this has gotten vegan activists, anti-meat activists, upset. There's an outfit called PCRM, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Now, how can you quarrel with that? That sounds ultra responsible. Right? Like Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. It sounds like the Mother's Committee for Apple Pie. What could be more wholesome than responsible medicine. Everybody's got to get behind that. But they've erected a billboard a mile from the Allentown Iron Pigs ballpark. I guess the theme is Allentown, Steel Town, Iron Pigs. Comparing bacon to cigarettes. There's actually a picture here. It says, keep kids safe. Ban bacon from ballparks. www.baconmaycausecancer.org. And it's a pack of cigarettes, and what's coming out of the pack of cigarettes, bacon strips. So my take on this is that there is some evidence that chemicalized bacon, bacon that is saturated with nitrites, can be carcinogenic. But now it's eminently possible. It's easy to find bacon that is preserved with either ascorbic acid, vitamin C, or they can use beet juice, which actually has antioxidant and nitrite properties, which keeps the bacon looking pink and appealing instead of gray and, old. And so, I got to say, this organization, they're very closely affiliated with PETA, who they must be candidates for an award for tastelessness. When Mayor Giuliani of New York got prostate cancer, they had pictures of him on a billboard, and it was a parody of the Got Milk mustache ad campaign. They painted a milk mustache on Mayor Giuliani, and the tagline was Got Cancer? The suggestion being, don't eat dairy because it's going to cause prostate cancer. Well, maybe there's some evidence, but the vociferousness of groups like this in an effort to stomp out meat, it's misdirected, because this meat is not the prime culprit in terms of what's driving disease in this country. And in our next hour, we'll talk a little bit more about the theme of fed up, which is for one of the first times in a film of this type, it's not an anti-meat jihad. It's a movie mostly about carbohydrate intolerance. So PCRM says, when you glorify bacon, you're really glorifying cancer. That is over the top and just plain wrong, according to the science. So their message, it just doesn't resonate with me. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. One of the themes of this program is the problems that we see with medications that are introduced into the marketplace, and it's only later, sometimes many years later, that we discover their adverse consequences. And many drugs have actually been yanked from the marketplace. I can think of many. Vioxx, for example, this is a medication that was supposed to be great for pain and didn't cause ulcers, but ultimately it caused heart disease and probably killed a lot of people. Here's an article about this. Actually came out a week or so ago, and it's a warning from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration that a popular sleep medication, Lunesta, I think they marketed that with those Abe Lincoln ads. And if you think those ads are sort of hallucinogenic, maybe that's sort of a forewarning about the potential effects of Lunesta. They say that Lunesta may help you doze off at night, but it's the morning after that has officials concerned. A new study shows that a person may be less alert and do things such as driving less safely the day after taking Lunesta. They did a study of 91 healthy adults, 25 to 40, who were given 3 milligrams of Lunesta. And what they found was the people who took the drug had severe next morning psychomotor and memory impairment some 7.5 hours later. And so the suggestion is, if you're going to have to take these medications, take a much lower dose. Also consider natural sleep remedies. They really work. And consider sleep hygiene, better diet, elimination of caffeine and alcohol, stabilizing your blood sugar, taking extra magnesium, taking products like cortisol manager, or using tryptophan, melatonin, valerian, hops. There's a new product called Glysom that we use for people who wake up in the middle of the night. That may be preferable to dependency on these
medications that can leave you with a real serious hangover and impaired performance the next day. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.